Shush Marina, Rav Shlita. I've called it background to Erev Tavshilin because the Rav will be giving a shiur on practical halachas on Erev Tavshilin. And I'd like to say this shiur le'ilu nishmas my father-in-law, who's yotzeit today, the Rav Bevelel, Rabbi Alexander ben Rav Shloima. And looking at the subject of the background of Erev Tavshilin, the question is, why do we do it? Why do we take Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tov, which is on a Wednesday or on a Thursday? When we were at school, we were told, well, you're not supposed to prepare from one day to the next, so you start preparing before Yom Tov, and then you're carrying on Yom Tov, and then it's all right. But is it really as simple as that? It's all right. You've got to get the priorities right. So a balabatish thing is, it's an easy thing to do. There's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Kafches, on a base, which says that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah. Mitzvah Soich, okay, Soich, the Torah Soich. And then it says, Afilu Erev Tavshilin. Even Erev Tavshilin. Why does the Gemara say even Erev Tavshilin? What is the thing about Erev Tavshilin which makes it really as if it's so simple and so small or so insignificant? Why is it even Erev Tavshilin that you kept everything? First of all, it's a chiddush that you kept the din drabonon, because it's learnt out from the pasuk of mitzvah seichel kosovus arazoi, because those are the dinim min haTorah. Erev Tavshilin is a din drabonon. Alright, all din drabonon are based on the fact that the Torah says al pi adav asher yeruchot. You keep the Torah according to what the Rabbanim teach you. But why afilu Erev Tavshilin? The simple answer of Bala Batish can be, well, even Erev Tavshilin, because what are you doing? You just lift up a roll and an egg and make a bracha, it's easy. And in fact, the Ritva says, why v'amai kail tefei, the Ritva says, eino elozeche ba'almo. It's simply something to remember a certain thing by, and we're going to go into that later. And it's simply, it's good enough with a kazayas for everybody who's in the whole tachum, a kazayas is good enough. So the Rebbe's saying it's an easy mitzvah to keep. So I feel like Erev Tavshilin, I'd rather be to kept even that. But then the Sefer Prasha Sderochim, which is written by the Mishnah Lamelech, he says something very intricate and interesting. Quoting that Gemara, and he then quotes Rav Nosson Adler, who says, the question of Avraham Avinu was he a din of Ben Noach? Was he a Goy or was he a Jew? If he comes into the shul, can you count him in a million? Well, it was before Matan Torah, so you can't. Did he then have a din of being a Noachai? So there's a very long debate in this Sefer Prasha Sderochim as to whether the Ovos were B'nai Noach or Yotzu Michlal B'nai Noach, that they had a din of being like Jewish even though the Torah wasn't given yet. And the problem is this, that Goy Shoshavas Chayim Mishnah. So Shabbos is given to Yidden to keep, so the guy may not keep it. If Avraham Avinu is a guy, he may not keep Shabbos. How can he keep Shabbos? We say he kept all the mitzvahs. How can he then keep Shabbos? So the Baal HaFlor said something about, well, it doesn't really matter, because before Matan Torah for the guy, the day didn't start in the evening before, it started in the morning, and it carried on the night afterwards. So if Avraham Avinu kept Shabbos, he was obviously breaking it at some point.
You wouldn't have had a din of
Goy Shoshavas
before Matan Torah either, would you?
If there's a din of Goy Shoshavas Chayim Nisan, Avraham Avinu must have kept it, if he was a Goy. So there's an interesting chiddush of Rav Nosson Adler. He says that it's true, you can't prove it from a single Shabbos, but you can prove it when Yom Tov falls into Shabbos. Because then, when you say that it's the day into the night, then with the Yom Tov Shabbos, and you get sometimes a three-day Yom Tov, and he was keeping it, and he kept Afilu Erev Tavshilin, which shows as a proof that he was Yotze Bichlal Ben Noach, and therefore he wasn't like a Goy, but he was like a Jew, even though it was before Matan Torah. That's a nice longish one. But let's just look into the basics. Interestingly, the Baal HaTorah says that there's a gematria of Ekel Asher Shavma Avraham, which is saying gematria is kind of Afilu Erev Tavshilin. He even kept Erev Tavshilin. The basis of the Gemara which goes into this is Pesachim Daf Mem Vav. I was not intending to hand out the Gemaras, but if you want a copy, I've got some here. But the Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Vav says, Itzmah, open the Yom Tov L'chol. What about if you are baking to a weekday? You're not allowed to prepare from one day to the next. But what is the din? And there Rav Chisda says, you're chayv malchus. As a din to a raisa or din to rabbanon? We're going to discuss that in a moment. Rabba omar eino loke. Rabba says, you're not chayv. Rav Chisda omar loke. Rav Chisda says, you have malchus lo milon halam. Umikloi le archim. What does this mean? According to Rabba says, look, if you prepare something on Yom Tov, although you might have in mind to prepare it for the next day, you might get guests unexpectedly turning up at your door. And if so, you will be able to serve the food which you've just prepared to them now, and therefore it's not strictly a preparation for the next day, because you are able to use that food for today. So there's a principle called Hoel. Hoel means since. Since guests might come today, therefore it's not strictly called preparation. And it's alright. So then we've got this argument, therefore, between Rabba and Rav Chisda. Rabba Omar Eino Loke. Rabba says, there's no problem on such preparation. I mean, on Hoel. Omar Le Rabba Le Rav Chisda. So Rabba says to Rav Chisda, according to you, Domat Lo Amin on Hoel, Haich Open the Yom Tov to Shabbos. How can you prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos if you don't say Hoel? You have to say Hoel that guests might turn up today. Otherwise, when you're preparing Yom Tov to Shabbos, there's a preparation. On my lane, Shub Erev Tavshilin. I've got Erev Tavshilin to cover me. So he answers back to him and says, hold on a minute. Mishum Erev Tavshilin Sharin on Isra Daraisa. Are you saying that a din Rabbon on Erev Tavshilin can override a din min HaTorah? Look at this. A din min HaTorah to prepare from one day to the next. You know, many people think that the preparation is just a din Rabbonon as an Isra. And here, there's an implication from the Gemara that it's a din min HaTorah. Why? Rashi there says, what does it mean? When you're cooking or baking on Yom Tov, you're doing so as a special hetzah. It's a malacha to cook and to bake on Yom Tov, but because of Ochel Nefesh, the Torah allows it for Yom Tov, for that day, for your fellow Jew, you may cook and bake, because the Torah makes an exclusion clause. But otherwise, if you're baking for the next day, you're not covered on this achashia chalachol nefesh. Therefore, you're doing a din, an issur min haTorah, if you are cooking for the next day. And that's what comes out then from this Gemara. So he answers, I'm not allowing an issur daraisa with ner tafshilin, omalein, with daraisa tzurchei shabbos nafshin b'yomtu. He says, I'm allowed to prepare one day to the next when it's yomtu and shabbos. Rashi says it's all one kedusha, kedusha achas hi. So according to Rav Chisda, I'm not bothered about guests, because whether they turn up or don't turn up, I'm allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to the next day, not from Yom Tov to Chol, which means an issur d'oraisa, but I prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, why? Because it's all one kedusha. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos explain. He says when you are preparing Yom Tov to Shabbos, it's not necessarily one kedusha, but it's part of the ochel nefesh of Yom Tov, that you need to prepare for Shabbos. There's no other way of preparing for Shabbos. Alright, you could say well before Yom Tov, but then the food might go off. So he says it's l'tzurach Shabbos nechshav ochel nefesh b'Yom Tov. What you need for Shabbos is called ochel nefesh on Yom Tov. So he doesn't see it as a problem either, according to Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda is saying it's no big deal Yom Tov to Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi is saying, no, you can't do it unless you prepare early enough in the day. And we bring this down to halacha, says I'm going to wrong with Choshesh, both views of Rabbi and Rav Chisda. So you do it early enough in the day, and therefore guests might turn up. Ah, what if you're going to have a birthday cake prepared for you by your wife, which is on Shabbos, your birthday is on Shabbos, and so she prepares a birthday cake on Yom Tov, perfectly allowed to bake a cake on Yom Tov, if you've had the oven on from beforehand, etc. So if you have this birthday cake made, there's no way your wife will allow it to be served to any guests who turn up on Friday. So is there an issue of preparation when that birthday cake is made from Yom Tov to Shabbos? So we still say, yes, it's all right. Why? Well, first of all, it's not that guests have to come or guests have to eat it. It's that it's able to be served. You might change your mind at the last minute. Somebody, Choshev, will turn up at your door. Oh, you must have a piece of my husband's birthday cake. It's possible. And you only have a kazayim. So that that is an issue where we seem to be hedging towards a kind of haroma, a legal fiction. Some people like to call it a kind of loophole. And it's interesting because there's a mission in Beit Zachaf Hei which talks about if you have an animal which looks like it's going to die soon and you're going to lose a lot of money because you were breeding it for food and it's good enough to use for food. So the Mishnah there says you're allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov. Well, you don't need it for Yom Tov. You're full up from your Yom Tov meal. You don't need it. But you can say, I'm going to shecht it that it's available for its food, providing that a kazayas of the meat is available to be eaten still on Yom Tov, then it's allowed to be shechted on Yom Tov, even though you're not really intending to eat it at all on Yom Tov. No, it's not a vela. It's not called a trefa animal by the definition.
If it's
yeah,
you're avoiding
the plumbing. Yeah, that's something else. Or trefo is like tashlichu noso. That's another subject, certainly. But in the case where the animal is 100% kosher, it's not a trefo, it's not an avela, but you have reason to believe it won't be surviving very long, you're allowed to shecht this animal. So we've got, coming back to this Gemara in Pesachim, we got the view of Rav or of Hoel. Hoel is the guests might come. We got the view of Rav Chista. He says, I don't mind Hoel, but I don't need it because it's all one kedusha. It's a necessity to be able to cook for Shabbos on Yom Tov. So either way, what do you need Erev Tavshinim for? Because according to Rav, I've got Hoel. The guests might turn up. According to Rav Chista, it's not called preparation because it's all one kedusha or whatever. So what do I need Erev Tavshinim for? That's the question which comes out from our Gemara in Pesachim, which is not really answered in the Gemara in Pesachim. It's answered in the beginning of the second parak of Beitzah. And at the beginning of the second parak of Beitzah, copies are available if you wish, there, the beginning of the Gemara, Omar Shmuel Dama Kol Zocha Siyam HaShabbos LeKadosho, we remember the Shabbos to keep it holy. We're worried you might come to forget the Shabbos. What does that mean? My time. So what is the reason for Erev Tavshilin? Omar Rabba, Kadei Shiyiv, Ramoni Afil HaShabbos, Ramoni Afil Yom Tov. Rabba's not worried about preparation. He's worried that you're going to eat it all up on Yom Tov, and you'll have no food left for Shabbos, and there'll be an insult to Shabbos. Rabba's worried that when Yom Tov comes along, and you're eating and drinking, and you're being merry, and you're being very festive, and you might have a few too many, and you eat up everything, come Shabbos, nothing left. That's not a very nice thing to do to Shabbos. So Rava says, by putting aside something for Shabbos, and according to him, therefore, you can even do Erev Tavshinon on Yom Tov itself. You put something aside for, that's the difference. But you can put something aside because you have to give cover to Shabbos. Well, you will set it aside that this is earmarked for Shabbos, and therefore Shabbos will not feel left out and insulted, and therefore it's Kadesh Shira Monayof in the Shabbos and Monayof in the Yom Tov. Rav Ashi disagrees. Rav Ashi says, Kadesh Yomru, that people might say, Ain Ofim Yom Tov LeShabbos Kal Lechom, Ain Yom Tov LeChol. We want to remind people that there is a din about preparation, Hachona, and that you may not prepare to a weekday. And there might be people who will say, well, since I can prepare for Shabbos, then I can prepare for a weekday. What's the big deal if I can prepare from Yom Tov to the next day for Shabbos, and I can prepare from Yom Tov the next day to Chol? And we don't want people to say that. So his view is that we remind people that there is a din of preparation in order not to insult Yom Tov. We don't want to insult Yom Tov by preparation to a Chol. People will have a recognition and a zecher, and to remember that you may not prepare from Yom Tov to Chol. So according to Rabbah in the Gemara Beitzah, we don't want to insult Shabbos because we want to make sure no food is left over. And according to Rav Ashi in the Gemara Beitzah, we don't want to insult Yom Tov. So that is the reason why we're doing Erev Tavshilin. It's not really because of preparation. Well, it's a link to it, certainly. But the real reason is given either that you've got nice food set aside for Shabbos, or, according to Rav Ashi, that people are not going to start saying, oh, I can cook for a weekday, for Chol. So that gives us both Gemaras in perspective. And the interesting thing which is done is that certain Mefarshim try to do a link. The Baal HaMor does a link between the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Beitza. And he draws a parallel. And he says that Rava in our Gemara in Beitza is really Rava, and it's one and the same person who is talking there in Pesachim, who said Hawil, that guests might come. And he is saying that the one who said guests might come, he is saying Pesachim money off Eliyam, Mashabbos money off Eliyam, so that you reserve something, that you give cover to the Shabbos. And he also draws a parallel then between Rav Chisda and Pesachim, who learns it all Kedusha Achas, with Rav Ashi in our Gemara, of people might say that you can bake from one day to the next. That's the opinion of the Baal HaMor, and without wishing to make it sound too complicated, the Rambam disagrees with the Baal HaMor. And he says, it doesn't really run in parallel with two Gemaras. He says that Rav Ashi, which is a din on a din d'rabbanon, is even going on Rabba's ruling in the Hoel, in the other Gemara in Pesachim, that there are really two d'rabbanons here. There is the d'rabbanon of Hachana, which is an Issa d'rabbanon according to him in the Gemara in Pesachim, and there's a din d'rabbanon of Kadesh Yomru, that people shouldn't say that there's going to be a preparation from Yom Tov to a weekday. And that is a very interesting idea, because then according to the Ramban you have a Gezeira and a Gezeira. There are two din d'rabbanons here. A Gezeira and a Gezeira, and what he's written is that Osu Chizuk L'Divrei, and there were times when Chazal wanted to do a Gezeira and a Gezeira, even though it's a very unusual thing, in order to give strength to what they said. Chizuk L'Divreihem. And then we come back to Avraham Avinu. He kept even Erev Tashshili. He kept even a Gezeira and a Gezeira. That's how distant from the rule of the Torah it was. It's not only that it was a din d'rabbanon, but a din d'rabbanon on a din d'rabbanon, that we are keeping a Gezeira and a Gezeira, and that is why Avraham Avinu kept even that. So that's an interesting machlokes between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban, which is dealt with a lot in the yeshiva world. Yes.
According to Rava, who says we're worried about the Mahalim Kodesh Shabbos, does that mean your Eretashim food has to be top quality food?
Well, it has to be Shabbos food, that you're not just leaving leftover scraps for Yom Tov. You are reserving food for Shabbos to give dignity to the Shabbos.
So it should be.
So it doesn't have to be a lot of food, it can be a kazayas.
Yeah.
So you take a roll and you take an egg, then that is enough. It hasn't got to be, you haven't got to be reserving your Erev Tashlim, the whole meal, the whole menu, for Shabbos. But nevertheless, there is the idea that you have the money offered for both. And so there is really a close link between him and Rav Ashi in a sense. Because you're going to give dignity to both Yom Tov and to Shabbos. But his emphasis is for Shabbos, that you must make sure you've got food set aside for Shabbos. But you don't have to reserve more than a kazayas.
No, but that's the quantity, but the quality is yofa, and that's got to be a mono yofa.
Oh yeah, it's got to be something decent. But mono yofa is
it's an agency.
Yeah, but it's left up to your discretion what mono yofa is. Yeah.
But also about the quantity.
It doesn't have to be a right. The minag is some of the minag of every meal having some there. But the minag is most people have is that you eat it at the shalosh.
So it's probably not going to be the best.
Yeah. Well, my answer is. You'll get a good Shabbos
service.
Yeah, the idea is that you won't eat it up on Yom Tov, otherwise you've spent it, and then you've made things problematic for yourself. So you keep it for Shabbos service. All right, that's the next. You don't have to eat it for Shabbos service. Now, we spoke about the din of Hoel and the idea of guests. Avraham Avinu says that Eon Yaakov, he always had guests. He had a door on each side of his tent. He went looking for guests, even in the hot weather, even when he was ill, he was recovering from an operation. He was always looking for guests. He always had guests. So for him, there was no real loophole, so to speak, of saying Hoel, that guests might turn up. So the Eon Yaakov says, why does it say he even kept Erev Tashshili? Because he didn't really need it, because he had guests turning up the whole time. So when he prepared food, it might have been for the next day for Shabbos, but guests always turned up at his door, and that food was ready to be served on the self-same day. So he didn't really need it, but suddenly the din of Hoel for Rabbah, He didn't need it because guess what, he's turning up. So it says that Ibn Yaakov, that Afidu Hochi Kairosa, even though then he kept it. But if we then bring that idea further on to the Gevuras Ari, who is the Shagas Arye, he also says something on this idea of Gemara Yuma Kafches. He says, it's true Avraham Avinu always had guests. Yes. But who were those guests? Those guests were not yet converted. You know, Avraham Megayas Anoshim, sorry Megayas Anoshim, Lesan Nefesh Asher Osu B'choron, it says in the Pasuk. So that's what Rashi says there. So he was bringing people into the fold, teaching them about the Floris Abore and the wonders of what was to be Yiddishkeit, right? But these people who were coming to him, could he therefore benefit from this principle of Ho'il? Because Ho'il, when you're saying guests might turn up, yeah, there is a din on Yom Tov about the way you cook Achashia Rechelechol Nefesh. So Ho'il applies when you link it with Achashia Rechol Nefesh, Shulavado Yosel Lochem. But here there is no Lochem for Avraham Avinu. Because those people whom he had converted already, they were no longer Ochim, they were B'nai Besa. And therefore, what good was Ho'il for him? He couldn't rely on it. Nevertheless, Afilu Hochi, he kept the Erev Tavshilin. Interesting idea of the Gevuras Ari, because he's saying, even though he didn't have Ho'il, he had the Heker, the idea of Kadesh Yomru. But there's an idea, Zecher, that you don't cook from Yom Tov to Chol, that people might say, which was the reason in the Gemara in Beitzah of Rav Ashi.
Who would say?
So even according to Rav Ashi, yeah, there's no Kadesh Yomru. Afilu Hochi, he kept the Erev Tavshilin. Thank you, go ahead.
But you are never, as he couldn't cook for these people on Yom because they were goyim, he therefore had to cook before Yom, and that's why he kept their invitation.
No, you could say because he did all the preparations before Yom Tov, therefore he didn't need Erev Tavshilin in order to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Afilu Hochi, he kept Erev Tavshilin. Very interesting Gemara Sari, which comes a bit longish if you want to look it up. It's on that Gemara in Yom Kippur. Sorry?
He didn't have power, he could actually cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos anyway, so Erev Tavshilin wouldn't help him.
Right.
And two, what was his status? He wasn't really a Jew.
Right,
so he couldn't cook for himself, you were saying. Well, he couldn't cook for them, he couldn't cook for himself.
You need the Sefer Prosha Strachim for that. That he was Yotza Bichlal Benav Afilu Lahokel. Because there is an opinion which says that he was not a Din Benenach Rak L'chumra. But even for the Kunas, his conclusion is, and therefore, if you look at the introduction to Prosha Strachim, it's a very fascinating Lomdish Sefer. And there at the beginning, he shows how the Lomdus of the Mishnah Lamedach comes out even to Halacha. And he uses this as an example and the Chiddush of Rav Nosson Adler on the day and night business. Anyway, so, yes?
The issue is that you can't cook for Ochi, and he hasn't got heads in, but the Erev Tavshilin wouldn't help him.
That's right. So it wouldn't help him, but there was a Gezeret Rabbanon to make Erev Tavshilin. Although Erev Tavshilin might be for other things as well. Right? So the question was just raised before we started about lighting the Shabbos lights. If you say Ho'il, that guests might turn up, that's alright with the food and with a birthday cake, the baking, and so on. But how does Ho'il help you when you're lighting the Shabbos lights? So when your wife lights on Yom Tov, she's standing up and she says, L'hadlik ner shel Shabbos. She can't do it later because later is Shabbos. She can't do it earlier before Yom Tov. On the Wednesday before, she's not going to light the Shabbos lights. So when can she light the Shabbos lights? The only time she can do so is on Friday afternoon when it's still Yom Tov and it's not yet Shabbos. You can't say Ho'il because it's the last possible, or not necessarily the last possible moment, but you can't say, all right, guests might turn up and they'll benefit from the light. Well, all right, you can say that. But really, there's a whole subject of its own when it comes to the light. Some say Erev Tavshilin doesn't help. Others say Erev Tavshilin especially for the Yom Tov, for the Shabbos lights. Because there's no Ho'il. So you need the Gezeret Rabbanon to say, we give you a special hezer to prepare the Shabbos lights to do them on Yom Tov, even though you're not getting any real benefit from them on Yom Tov. There's another idea, is that the Shabbos light is part of the Oneg of the Seuda. So that even though it's not called baking or cooking, it's for the Seuda of Shabbos. And therefore, there is a relevance here that the whole concept of halal and so on is for the Sufis. But there is a real chiddush when it comes to Shabbos light. And I believe that Rabbi Cohen, with whom I discussed the content of today's shir, is going to deal with that in his one on Erev Tisha. Right. So, let's then just move on to one or two other ideas with Avraham Avinu. Because it's fascinating for the background to understand how he was so medactic to keep all these dinim derabbanon. And there's an interesting idea brought by the Sukkot Shomer, the Avnei Nezer, in his Sefer Na'os HaDesheh. And there on page 231, he gives a very novel explanation about Avraham Avinu. He says, when we make Yom Tov, it's really us who's bringing in the Kedusha of Yom Tov. Because we are Mekadosh Yom Tov with Rosh Chodesh al Pi Ha'Re'iyah, with the Kiddush HaChodesh by citing the new moon. So it's Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. That Yisrael is Mekadosh v'Hazmanim. But Shabbos, Hashem is Mekadosh the Shabbos. So we say in the Bracha Mekadosh HaShabbos, the Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Hashem is Mekadosh Shabbos, and Yisrael is Mekadosh Zamanim. So this conflicts a bit with what we said with Rav Chisda, when he said Shabbos and Yom Tov is all one Kedusha. It was rather saying, no, they are separate kinds of Kedusha. And that's the way we paskin. Shabbos and Yom Tov are different kinds of Kedusha. After Shabbos, we take the Vesomim. We're sorry that we've lost the Shabbos. After Yom Tov, we don't take the Vesomim. All right, is there a Shomi Seir, isn't there? That's another debate. But there is a difference between the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Yom Tov as it happens to us nowadays. And he goes into these ideas of where that the Kedusha, is it Nisheres Etzlo or not? He says the Kedusha of Yom Tov is because of us that we bring it through the Kiddush Al Pi Ha'Re'iyah, it stays with us for always. But the Kedusha of Shabbos, Hashem gifts to us, so to speak. So that's why we have the Pesomim at the end of Shabbos, that Kedusha is in a way withdrawn from us. But before Matan Torah, there was no Kiddush Al Pi Ha'Re'iyah. Before the Torah was given, Yom Tov was bestowed by Hashem as a Kedusha, because Yisrael were not really in a state to make it, because we didn't exist then as Am Yisrael. Before Matan Torah, the Torah wasn't given. So he says that the Kedusha of Yom Tov was the same as the Kedusha of Shabbos bestowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was all one Kedusha, which is a bit like what Rav Chisda says, all one Kedusha. And therefore, you don't need Erev Tavshili before Matan Torah. Even so, Afilu Hochi, Avraham Avinu kept Erev Tavshili. This is already getting into the mystics, but we're going to get even more mystical in a minute.
The reasons for the Yom Tov and the good.
Sorry?
When Avraham was alive,
there was no Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, did he keep Korban Pesach?
Well, they said he kept everything,
right? We kept all the mitzvahs. So he kept Korban Pesach.
How can he call it Yom Tov?
He kept Yom Tov. He set aside those days and he celebrated them as Yom Tov. Not to commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim. Not to commemorate the coming out of Egypt, but to earmark that those are the days which would be a Yom Tov in the future. And he would keep the days which were Yom Tov in the future as days then already as Yom Tov. Such was Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov as well. There's Midrashim about when Yaakov Avinu asked, when Yitzchak asked Esau for food and Pesach, you know, there's all this Midrashim about the fact that it was Yom Tov. But we won't go down that route now. But that is the Sukkot Shomer. In fact, the Sukkot Shomer gives two reasons. It gives another reason, based on the subject of Dveikus, of clinging closely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, in one way, the Kedusha of Yom Tov is greater than Kedusha of Shabbos, because we are close, we've become more close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Tov. He talks about the Pesach Mitzrayim, and that he says there was a preparation of 5 days between the time they got ready the Korban Pesach till the time of Shechtin, and nowadays there are 5 days between the first day Pesach and the seventh day. And he talks about the idea of Dveikus, of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he kept all the mitzvahs for the purpose of Dveikus, both Yom Tov and Shabbos, so they were like synonymous with each other, and therefore again he didn't need to keep Erev Tavshin, but Afilu Hochi he kept Erev Tavshin. They get mystical. Now there is a view brought in the Rashba that this whole thing of Rav Tav Shimon is not so, because it's based on a misprint. He claims that when this Chazal was brought down, it was written as an abbreviation, Ayin Tov. And he says that stood for Erev Tachumin, not Erev Tav Shimon. But all the other Rishonim seem to disagree with him, although the Gro does bring down this idea of Erev Tachumin. And the idea of Erev Tachumin is that it's based on a Din Daraisa, because there's a Din Daraisa about Tachum to a certain distance, although larger than what we keep. But all the other Rishonim seem to be saying that it's Erev Tav Shimon, and therefore they hold firm to these various explanations to the fact that Avraham Avinu even kept Erev Tav Shimon. A more mystical explanation is in the Sefer Yochsin. The Sefer Yochsin, under the Oath Avraham, and it's quoted by the Shlok, he says, what does it mean that Avraham Avinu kept even Erev Tav Shimon? He says, what is Erev Tav Shimon really all about? In fact, the very first the first line of the Gemara in Beitza of Shmuel, he says, Erev Tav Shimon is based on Makarot, Zohar, Yom HaShabbos, and Kaddish Shabbos. It's to remember the Shabbos. That you are busy getting ready for Yom Tov, don't forget about Shabbos, make sure there's a Mono Yofa the Shabbos and Mono Yofa the Yom Tov. So you've got a nice piece of food set aside for Shabbos. What's the idea behind Zochar Yom HaShabbos? The Bria, the creation of the world. In all our celebration of Yom Tov, we shouldn't forget the fact, apart from, say, for the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Matan Torah, and the Sukkah, and the Anane Kavod, comes Shabbos, there's the Bria. And who was the person who brought to the world the whole concept of Bria, of the Niflaos HaBorei? That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu made it his job to draw to everyone's attention that there is a God who created the world. So he says, "Shal yedei Erev Tav Shimon hodi Avraham chidush ha'olam." So he was bringing to people the idea of Zochar Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. Shenishkach chidush ha'olam, that people should not forget the chidush ha'olam, that the whole idea of Erev Tav Shimon is a hekah. So he kept even Erev Tav Shimon in order to remind everybody this is part of the whole concept of remembering the Bria. And that he went so far in his teachings to others that he even kept Erev Tav Shimon in order to demonstrate the idea of Zohar, Esyo, HaShabbos, the Kadshah. And it's very interesting because when we think about our Emunah, we base it on really two different ideas. Number one is Niflaos HaBorei, the wonders of creation. You look around, you look at trees, you look at nature, you see the rain cycle, we see animal life. Everywhere you go, you see intelligence. So that was Avraham Avinu's realization that there is a God. But we've got something else. In fact, something even more than that. We've got the Eidus. We've got the Nissim from Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ten Makkos, and Kriyas Yamsuf. And Matan Torah, the Mamad Har Sinai was the most amazing thing for us to witness. And we base our Emunah on that as well. So the Kuzri spends a lot of time discussing the idea of the amazing things of coming out from Egypt, that they were the Nissim. But there's the Mamad Har Sinai as well. But Avraham Avinu didn't have that luxury that we have relating to the miracles which Hashem did for us to witness. All Avraham Avinu had was to looking at nature. Hence, at the beginning of Vayera, it says, Vayera Hashem Elov, the Elone Mamre. He appeared to Avraham, the Elone Mamre. Mamre is the Rashi Tevos, Nikolos, Maim Ravim Adirim. David HaMelech looks at the greatness of nature in his Tehillim, Nikolos, Maim Ravim Adirim. That's how Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu, with nature. But we, who have also Edo Secho, Nernum Me'od. So we've got the Kodesh Man Rabbi Madi Mishmayom Adir Bavor Hashem. Hashem is really exalted when you look at his nature. But then Edo Secho, when we look at the Edus, Nehemu Ma'od, we get an even stronger emunah for the miracles he did specially for us. And therefore, we've got these two pronged attack, so to speak, when we are teaching about emunah. But Avraham Avinu only had the first current. And he spelled this out by doing Erev Tav Shimon for Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadosh.
Where is
it quoted from? I heard this as a chiddush from a relation of mine called Moshe Krauss. I don't think he got it from anywhere. I think it was his own chiddush. So we've got here what is a din d'rabbana. A din d'rabbana, a gezeira and a gezeira. And really, we've had just last week in the Parsha Shoftim, the din of Apiyat Torah Shei Yerucha, the gadlus of Chazal is that we have to recognize that whatever the rabbis have told us to do, we should treat like a din minat Torah. And I'll just bring you a small story which is quoted by the Al Sheikh HaKadosh in Parshas Shoftim. He gives us a little story that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, 300 halachas were forgotten. And the people were crying. They thought, what were these halachas? They have forgotten what they are. I don't know how they knew it was 300. Maybe they had... Maybe they had them on a computer screen, but somebody by mistake deleted them but left the numbers. I don't know. Anyway, they were threatening Yahushua, and he got very scared. Yahushua, he thought, what am I going to do? And he governed, and everything was silent, nothing happened. Hashem was quiet. So Kalev got up. There was a crisis here, and Kalev got up, and he decided to turn this crisis into an incident. And he said, whoever can work out what these 300 halachas were will merit my daughter in marriage. Wow, what a deal. So somebody called Asniel worked out the Derech Drush, what these 300 halachas are. Great. So everybody was happy again. But the crucial question is, why couldn't Hashem just tell Yahushua what they were? Couldn't Yahushua just get on his mobile and say to Hashem, you know, they were in contact with each other, and say, could you please tell us what they were? But for some reason he wasn't getting reception. So he didn't know from Hashem what these halachas were. Hashem remained silent. So he asked the Al-Sheikh, why was Hashem quiet? Why didn't Hashem just say, yeah, these are the 300 halachas? Hashem would not deliberately utter a single word. Why? Because once Moshe Rabbeinu had died, Hashem would never, ever again speak a word of halacha. So it's similar to Moshe. Why? Because Hashem didn't want that sometime in the future certain people would come along and say, oh, God appeared to me and he told me a new rule. It's all changed now. Yeah? What's the background to Islam and Christianity? Prophets who had visions and so on. It's all changed now. God appeared to me. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. The rules have changed. Hashem deliberately would not utter a single word once Moshe Rabbeinu had died in order to make sure that nobody could claim legitimately that Hashem had spoken to them about Jewish law. It never changed. Why? Because after Moshe Rabbeinu died, it came to the rule of Achrei Rabbi Mahatis. You go according to the Beis Din, you go according to the majority, you go according to Chazal. And so what Chazal have is a living force from one generation to the next to continue that Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu handed down to us, and it's got the same credibility and the same force as what happened at Mamad Har Sinai. There's another interesting story. There's a sefer called Shevet Musa, and there's a Rav Yitzchok in a town in Turkey who felt very mournful about the fact that he thought that there were no Gedolei Yisrael left in his day. And as he was thinking this, a young girl came into his room and handed him a sefer Shevet Musa. It's a fascinating Musa sefer, which it's in print, you can get it quite easily. And there, it was open on a particular page where he writes, in every single generation, we have Rabbonim who are competent to teach us the Torah properly. As if it's the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was amazed, because he saw that this had just answered the very thing that he was worried about. So he ran after this girl and asked her, who gave this sefer to you? And she described this man who had given her the sefer, a man, an old-looking man with a long white beard, but there was nobody in the area who fitted that description. And they came to the conclusion that this must have been Eliyahu HaNavi. That the Torah is given to us in every generation by Chazal, who are teaching it to us as though we're still at Mamad Har Sinai. So when we keep the din of Erev Tafshilin, which is a din d'rabbanan, it's a simple mitzvah, gezeira, gezeira, why does the Gemara stressed that even Avraham Avinu can't get that. We shouldn't say, oh, I don't have to worry about it so much. I'm more busy on Eretz Sukkos with my sukkah and with my lulav, much more important. And be careful, it's very easy to forget Erev Tafshenin because you're so busy with your sukkah and your lulav. But nevertheless, it's still important. And even though the Rav makes an Erev Tafshenin, and even though he has in mind his gela, you're not supposed to say, oh, I'll rely on the rabbi's Erev Tafshenin. That's not good enough, because then you're called a poshea, you're called negligent, and it's not suitable. You can't do that. So we see, from what is a very simple din, some very interesting ideas which come out, not just about Avraham Avinu, but about the essence of what is behind the din of Erev Tafshilin. It's not just simply say, oh well, we're preparing, and you shouldn't prepare, therefore you start preparing before Yom Tov. It's much more than that. It's Kedei Sheyivra Monei Ofer Shabbos and Monei Ofer Yom Tov, to give cover to Shabbos and not to neglect it, that Shabbos must not be ignored, and secondly, as a precaution, that people shouldn't say, oh well, I can prepare for a Chol, and that will teach them that they can still prepare for the Shabbos, even though they may not prepare for the Chol. And with that, we're going to have Erev Tafshilin three times now this coming month. We're going to have Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're going to have Erev Sukkos, we're going to have Hoshana Rabbah. So we've got to take it quite seriously. And with that, enjoy your Yom Tov, and may you all have a Ksiva Ksiva Tova and a Gidna Ben Shtiyot.